Here on the Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're going to discuss the case of Shar Shehemis Es HaAdam, and specifically the case of Shar Muad with regard to the payment of Kofar or the Misas HaShar. Even in the case of Shar Tam, the Mishnah says Shar Shenogach Es HaAdam Umeis Muad Mishalim Kofar Vitam potem in a kofer, but v'zeh v'zeh chayovim misa. So as far as a muad is concerned, not only is the shor put to death through stoning, but in addition, the baal hashor has to pay kofer. And that's derived from the pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph, im kofer yushas olav, v'nosan pijon nafsho. We had a sugya back on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, with regard to the Machlokes, Rabbanon and Rabbi Shmuel, to define the nature of kofer and how much you have to pay, whether it's Dmei Mazik or Dmei Nizak. We discussed this yesterday. And the Rambam Paskins in Perek Yud Aleph, Milchus Niskei Momin, that we evaluate the Dmei Nerag. In other words, it's we paskin that Dmei Nizak. Now, exactly what the Dmei Nerag is and how to evaluate that, the Rambam doesn't specify. And it could be that we look and see how much he would be sold as an Eved, or it could be what we call Shavyo Mamish. And what is Shavyo Mamish? The Ravid says, he's not 100% sure about it, but it means Kefi ha-erchin ha-ktsuvim b'torah. There's a parasha in the Torah called Erchin. We're going to get to it in a few weeks. And that is what defines the Shavyo, and in this case, the Shavyo Shel Dmei Nerag. Now, the Torah says you chayev to pay kofar only after the death of the victim who was killed by the shor. And of course, you pay the Yorshim. Now, if it's Muad, Lishalim Kofar, it's Mishalim Kofar, that's what the Mishnah says, Muad Mishalim Kofar, then in the case of Tam Lechora is Potem in a Kofar. We don't need a special Gzeres HaKosim for that. The Torah says explicitly that in the case of Muad, he pays kofar. And not only that, technically, it's hard to even imagine that there could be kofar in the case of Tam, because Tam is migufo mishalim. That's the halacha of Shar Tam. Now, in the case of a Shar Shaharag, it's hard to say that you can collect from the guf Shar, because the shor itself is a niskal, and it's also by noah. So what was the hava mean in the case of Tam? The Mishnah goes out of its way to paskin that a Tam is potter min hakofer. Was there a possibility that Tam would be chayev min hakofer? So the Cheshek Shlomo says that there's a case where the shor is not beskila, and yet there is a chiyuv kofer. For example, for the chiyuv shor, misas ashar, you need the proper kavana. And if the shor didn't have the proper kavana, there would be no misas ashar. Nevertheless, if the shor is a muad, there would still be a chiyuv kofer, even though the shor is not a niskal. And in such a case, you can have a havamina that maybe a shor tam, which would not be put to death. As we said before, there is no chiyuv skila in the case of Shar Tam, but nevertheless, there might be a chiyuv kofer. And that's where the Mishnah comes, lafuki, that there is no chiyuv kofer in the case of Tam, but nevertheless, even in the case of Tam, the Shar is chayev misa, because the Torah says Hashar Yisakel, and that's referring to both Tam and Muad. So whereas Kofar is limited to a Muad, And that's because we only hold the owner of the shor responsible if the shor was a muad. But nevertheless, as far as the shor is concerned and the din skila, that applies even in the case of a shor tam. So that the din of skila really applies straight across the board, whereas in kofar yushas olav, that chiv kofar is specifically referring to a shor muad. Now the Mishnah wants to know, who is the victim of this murderous shor? Was it a gadol or a gdola? Was it a ben or a bas ktana? Was it an eved or an omavriya or a shivcha knanis? And this is relevant to the chiyuv skila and to the chiyuv kofer. So the Mishnah goes out of its way to say v'chein bevein v'chein bebas. We're talking about the victim that was killed by this shor was a child. Is nevertheless, it's irrelevant. The din of shor shaharges ha'adam applies even to a harages ha'katan, which means the shor is niskal, and it doesn't matter whether the tam or the muad, and in the case of a muad, the bailim pay kofar. There's an interesting discussion amongst the poskim, how old is this katan in order to generate a chiyuv kofar and a misas ashar. Obviously, the katan is potum in a mitzvahs, and maybe we had a havamina that the shor is chayiv only in a case where it kills a bar mitzvah. But nevertheless, we need what's called a katan bar kayama, that we know he's alive and well. For example, let's say a katan who was recently born. If he was born after 8 months of pregnancy, meaning he was born premature, then some say that in such a case, he's lo yotza b'chlal nefel. Or, for example, a katan who was born after 9 months, but he wasn't yet 30 days old. The halacha considers that a suffek nefel. So can you be mechayev, for example, the Baal HaShor kofar, in this case of a suffek moment? We don't know if the shor killed a bar kayom. In any event, the Amshel Shlomo de Marshal writes that kidei lotzei is yidei shamayin, because kufra kapora, he would give a kapora even in the case of a suffek. And with regard to an eved, the Mishnah says nagach eved o oma. We're talking about an eved knani or shivcha knanis. And there's another stipulation here which is added by the Nemuki Yosef. When the Mishnah says no saying shloshim sloim, that there is a chiyuv on the part of the Baal HaShor to pay, in this case not kofar, but to pay to the Adon shloshim sloim, and this is based on the parsha in Shmos Chaf Aleph, im eved yigach o oma kesef shloshim shkolim yitain la adonov ashor yisokel. Says the Nebuki Yosef, we're talking about a case of an eved who is tovel l'shem avdus, otherwise lo yotzim chal akum, and the shor would not be killed, it would be no chiv kofar. However, since this eved was tovel l'shem avdus, he therefore becomes a ger as far as mitzvos of an isha, and eved kenani is chayev lola mi isha in all the mitzvos that an isha is chayev in, and therefore there would be a chiyuv of both kofar and, in the case of muad, and when I say kofar I mean shloshim sloim, and there would be a din of misas hashor as well, even in a short time. And the Mishnah says bein shu yofa me'amona ubein sheinu yofa ela dinar echad. The requirement of paying shloshim sloim is katsuv, it's set. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't reflect the value of the Evan on the market. It's not like Kofar, where we said Dmei Nizak means how much would he be worth on the market. Now the Gemara is going to ask the main question that we have on this Mishnah. The Mishnah assumes that there's a Chiyuv Kofar when the shar becomes a shar muad, but how did the shar become a shar muad? Since we have to kill the shar after the first negicha, so when on the first occasion the shar killed the person, that shar's chayav misa is put to death. How did the shar ever get to the state of being a muad to generate a chiyuv kofar? V'chimeachar, the Gemara asks, demitam katlinan le, since we killed the shar, even if it was a tam, is muad hechimish kachas le. How do we have a case, how do we have a scenario in which the shar ever reached the stage of being a shar muad? Shar muad means it was no gaf three times, but already after the first negicha, the shar was put to death. This is not a kasha on the pasuk itself. When the pasuk says "im kofar yushas olav," with regard to a shar muad, the Torah is saying something totally different. The Torah is saying that the kofar here is a replacement for the misa sabal. In other words, the shar is chayv misa, the baal is also chayv misa, but instead of misa, he pays a kofar and he redeems his own nefesh. But the Mishnah here is focused on the halachic dimension of im kofar yishas olav, which means that we pay, the bailam pay kofar for a shar muad. What is the mitzius of a shar muad if we've already put the shar to death after the first negicha? A tam is chayv misa as well. There's a beautiful kasha here of the Gidulei Shmuel, one of the more contemporary achronim of the 20th century. He asks, I have a scenario. Let's say Bezdin was Makabel Edus on the first three Negichas in front of a Bezdin Shel Shlosha. Now a Bezdin Shel Shlosha is sufficient for Dini Mominus. However, to put the Shar to death, you need a Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel. A Bezdin Shel Shlosha of three would not be a large enough Bezdin and would not have the authority to put the shar to death. But yet, as far as the shar becoming a muad to generate a chiv kofar, a bezin shel shlosha would be fine, because the dini mamonis of bezin shel shlosha is absolutely authoritative. And he has also another case called edus miuchedes, which we're not going to get into now, but it's very interesting that he brilliantly came up with another scenario that would answer the Gemara's kash. I don't know why the Gemara didn't give this answer. What was the Gemara's answer? Amar Rabba. Rabba says, how can you have a shar that's a shar muad because it killed three different people? So the answer is, you don't have to kill three different people. The shar doesn't have to kill three in order to become a muad. But hachamayas kinon Kigon Shamduhu Lishlosha Bnei Adam. The Shar, as far as its Maisa Negicha, was capable or interested in attacking in such a way that it would kill its victim. And Bezdin says that even though Lamaisa the Shar was not successful and did not implement its scheme and its plan to kill, but nevertheless, Bezdin, through that evaluation, will decide that this shar has become, through these three occasions, a shar muad. Three occasions that the shar is running after a person to kill him. And as far as creating muadus is concerned, all we need is the umdana lemisa. But as far as killing the shar is concerned, we need a harigab fall, that the shar actually has to kill someone. The redifa itself is enough to establish, according to Rabba, mu'adus, and generate a shame muad if that radifa happened on three occasions. But as far as putting the shor to death, we need a misa before. Rav Ashi Omar, umdina lav klumhu. You cannot generate a shame muad based on an umdina. You don't know for a fact that it would have killed, and even if somehow you would know that it killed, that's not a din muad. Muad doesn't mean that the animal is the type. You know, we did a psychological study and we could profile the animal as being a killer animal. No. What you need is, you need negichos and harigos. And that you didn't have. Says Rav Ashi, I have a better pshat. El ha-hocha b'mayaskinu kigod she-sikein l'shlosha b'nei Adam. It means that as far as the negicha is concerned, on three occasions there was a negicha that could kill a person. Not just that the show was rodev, but there was an actual negicha, three times, three people. Why didn't they die? Okay, they became gosesim, they were about to die, but somehow they didn't die immediately. They died after a period of time. Now, during that interim period of time until the victims die, the shor is not chayv skila. When the victim dies, then igloy milsul mafreya, that the shor is chayv skila. At that point already, the shor has killed three people, and therefore it's a shor muad. And on the fourth negicha that kills a person, the shor is chayv misa. Now, the chiddush of Rav Ashi is that although he rejects umdana, here's a case where the shor actually killed three people, and that could generate muadus. But since the death of the three victims was delayed, they only became gosesim and died later. In that interim period, we cannot put the shor to death. And Rabbeinu Peretz adds that all three died before the third, or I should say, all three died before the fourth negicha, the final negicha. Because in order to establish the fourth negicha as a negicha shel muad, we need that the shor would have killed three times before that negicha. So it's a din in the negicha. Rav Zvid offers another interpretation. I'm tempted to think that Rav Zvid argues with Rav Ashi based on the grounds that if the shor killed a person, but that person did not die yet, then there is no edus at this point. In other words, the edim will testify l'shem kvius shem muadus only after the death of the shor, and it's of the adam. Excuse me. Now, even though the three first victims died, and at that point we can accept the edus of one, two, or three kitos on the three victims, and on the three negichos that killed three people, but nevertheless, there's a halacha called Yehude Gavra. If you recall, we learned this back on Daf Chav Dalet. And that means that between each negicha, we have to warn the Baal Hashor. And that we can't do because these three people died later on. Now, if, on the other hand, you had a Yehude Gavra, which means that the Edus came in to testify that the Reuven was killed by the Shor, then at that point, we're going to immediately impose Misa on the Shor, even though the shor is only a short time. So Rav Zvid offers another suggestion. Kigon shaharag shlosha behemos. This is a gevaldig chiddush. Rav Zvid says that when the Torah stipulates that you kill the shor when it kills a person, if it's a muad, that muadus can be generated even without the shor having killed three bnei adam, but rather by killing three behemos. And immediately after the three behemos, it kills one Adam, that is itself a shar muad. And basically, the yisoda yisodos, I think, that underlies Rav Zvid is that the shame muad is kolel both behema and Adam. It's not two separate shemos. And muad le behema, therefore, is a muad. And you don't need to create a muad li Adam. The Gemara asks, but v'muad lebehema v'muad liadam. The Gemara doesn't like Rav Zvid, because the Gemara thinks that certainly you need, in order to establish a muad lechiyuv kofer, you need a muad liadam. And we've discussed on many occasions, it's much more difficult for an animal to kill a human being who has intelligence than a behema. And therefore, muad lebehema doesn't mean that he's muad liadam. So we cannot warn the owner about negichas adam to generate a chiyuv of kofer if the animal does murder a human being. Now, in the flip side, let's say muad liadam, that might be muad lebehema. And we had a sugi about that earlier. Ella Omar Rav Simi. Rav Simi offers another interpretation, another scenario. Kigon Shaharek Shlosha Ovde Kochavim. If the shark killed three human beings, each one of them has mazel and could have run away, and yet the shar overcame them, if there's such a word, overcame, then in such a case, although we cannot give skila to the shar, but these three negichas are enough to generate a shem shar muad le'odam. So Gemara asks the question, umuad li'ovi kochama v'muad Li Yisrael. The Gemara is not happy with Rav Simi because the Gemara thinks that the Muadis to Ovi Kochavim is not enough to create Muadis Li Yisrael. And here you could interpret it in one of two ways. Either the Gemara means that it's more difficult for the Shar to kill a Jew than a non-Jew. That's the way the Pnei Yoshua seems to go here. Or you could say that in order to create mu'adus, you need a chal shem negicha. As we saw before, radifa is not enough. That's what Rav Ashi pointed out. And Rav Zvid pointed out that you need the actual misa. And now, you need misas adam. And the question is, which adam? And that's where the Gemara vacillates. Rav Sibi says, any adam. And the Gemara rejects that and says, no, it's got to be the adam which would engender a chiyuv misas ashar, and that's only if the shar kills Yisrael. The Gemara says, Ela Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, another possible answer, and that is, Kigon Sheharag Shlosha b'nei Adam Trefa. What that means is that a shar that kills a trefa is not chayav misa. However, even though we don't kill the shar if it kills a trefa, nevertheless, that hariga is enough hariga to qualify as a negicha mechayeves muadus, or a negicha which generates muadus. In other words, Reish Lakish doesn't see any distinction as far as the Shem Muad and the propensity of the Shar to kill a human being, whether it kills a Trefa or kills a healthy person, as far as the determination of the Teva, the nature of the Behema, it's all the same. And therefore, even though there's a technical, legal loophole here as to why the Shar is not put to death, but nevertheless, as far as establishing a shem muad is concerned, even if it kills a treifa, that is sufficient. Many of the achronim mention here the shitas haramban in chulin ayin vav with regard to treifa, and it's very interesting that the achronim want to know what's the din in the following case. Let's say the animal was a treifa, and then that treifus was removed. That's the shitas Ramban. What the Ramban is talking about is the case of a chatach of the tzumas hagidin, and then afterwards the leg of the animal which caused the treifa was amputated in such a way that now the tzumas hagidin is no longer there, and the behemah, according to Ramban, goes back to its original state of being a treifa. I'm sorry, of being a bria and not a treifa. So imagine in the following scenario: the shor was nogeach when it was a treifa, and a shor treifa is eno niskal. And this is the flip side of our Gemara. Our Gemara says that if the shor kills the treifa, it's eno niskal. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Ches says that if the shor itself was a treifa, it's eno niskal. So there were three negichos in which the shor was a treifa. And after the third negicha, they amputated the leg of the animal in such a way that it's no longer, according to Ramban, a treifa. And therefore, at the point of the negicha revius, the animal should be a niskal, midin shora niskal. And the balashor should be kofer because it's a muad. This would be a very good echetimtza then to answer up the Mishnah, how you could have a muad that was not killed as a result of the first three negichos. And therefore the Bailim pay kofar at the fourth negicha on a shor muad. And the answer is, this shor actually killed three healthy human beings, but the shor, even though it's a muad larigas adam, is potter from misa and skila based on the sugi and sanhedrin because it is a treifa. But now, at the point of the negicha revius, it's no longer a treifa. Fascinating question, the achronim. And the Achronim offer at least five different approaches to answer this question. In any event, the Gemara rejects Reish Lakish for the following reason: Umuad l'treifa, havi muad l'sholem. It's much easier for a shor to kill a treifa. Treifa is already close to death; he's on the verge of death within a certain period of time. And therefore, the fact that the shor killed the treifa, that doesn't establish mu'adus. In other words, that the shor should be mu'ad laharigas adam. Reish Lakish holds that even though a mu'ad l'goy is not a mu'ad l'Yisrael, that's because a goy is not a bar chiyuva, but a treifa is considered a bar chiyuva. And even though we don't put the shor to death, but it's certainly enough to make him into a mu'ad l'adam sholem. Ella Amar Rav Papa, the katal the orak li agma, the katal the orak li agma. On three occasions following the negicha, the shor simply flew the coop and it disappeared. And when we got back, we testified against it. There was a gemar din for skila, but once again, the animal somehow slipped away and ran to the agam, to the marshland, and they weren't able to be sokel the shor. Now here we have a pretty radical change. In Rav Papa, as opposed to all the other answers that we had from Rabba, Rav Ashi, Rav Zvid, Rav Simi, and Reish Lakish, here we have what we call a pure ukimta. There's no halachic principle here that's being introduced. According to Rabba, the principle was umdina. According to Rav Ashi, the principle was that we didn't put the shor to death even though it killed a person, because the person was still a goses, he hadn't died. According to Rav Zvid, the Muad lebeima is a muad liyadov according to Rav Simi. Muad leakum is muad liyisrael according to Reish Lakish. Muad latreifa is muad liadam bari adam shalem. But Rav Papa, without introducing a brand new chidush, he's not introducing a halachic principle, rather just a metzius. The metzius was that we couldn't put the shor to death simply because we didn't have the shor to put him to death. Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Amar Kigon Shehuzmu Zomime Zomimim. Every time the shor was nogeach and they testified against him, there was a Gmar Din for Skila. Then Edim came in and were Mazim, the two Edim that testified against the shor, and they said, Imanu Ayisim, you couldn't have possibly been there to see the shor kill a person, you were with us elsewhere. And that holds up the skill of the shor because of the azama. And then another pair of Edim came in, and this happened, of course, after the third Negicha, and they were Mazim, the Mazimim. These are called the Zomimei HaZomimim. And as a result, the original pair of Edus are brought back. You know, we can be Machshir, the original Edus. And Bezdin now has three Edios on three different Negichos. And now they could put the shor to death, and they could be mechayev the Bailim Kofer as a shor muot. The Ram Shif points out that why didn't the Gemara just give the following answer? Maybe the Edus came in on all three Negichas together. And the answer is because if the Edus testified together simultaneously or one cut on three Negichas, then at that point we would put the shor to death. We're looking for a case where the shor becomes a muad on the next Negicha. But once we have to be sokel the shor because of the first three Negichos, and any one of them would suffice, we don't need the shem muad, because even a tam is chayav misa, we don't have a mitzius where the bailim pay kofar. Now, in the case of huzmu zomimei zomimim, there was asra after they accepted the edus achrona, and the asra was meaningful to watch this shor properly, because the last pair of Edim were retroactively machshir all the Edus that came before. Now, after the third pair of Edim come in, and now we have Edus on all three Negichos, then the animal went out and was nogeach, and the Tosra Rabbeinu Peretz says that if the shor was, for example, the base bailim at the time of the Gemar Din, as a result of the mazime mazimim, the last pair of edus, then the animal, before they got a chance to kill it and stone it, went out and was nogeach. So you have a shor amua that was nogeach. But if that be the case, we're back to our original question: why couldn't the Gemara offer the following ukimta in the Mishnah? Let's say three kitei edim came to Bezin together to be made on the shor, and there was a gemar din on the shor, but the shor was in base bailim, and they warned the bailim to be shomer his shor, but until they got a chance to be soka the shor went out and was nogeach. And he writes that b'chol pam achen miyad liachash enigmar dino lisokel tovsim Bezin es hashor, that there is a din that after the Gemar Din, Bezdin themselves will grab onto the shor. And therefore there's no moment in time in which the shor could run into the base bailim. And the question is how to reconcile that with Rabbeinu Peretz. But be that as it may, the Gemara raises the following point. Ha'nicha iliyu de tura be'inan. If we hold like that Mandi Omar, this is a sugi that we had earlier, that the purpose of Hadah is to establish that the shor is a muad shaper, then that's good. And we accepted the third pair of Edim, the Zomimei Zomimin, or I should say the Zomimei Mazimin, and we have Yehudei Tura, Ela Ili Yehudei Gavra Be'inon. But if we mean that you have to be made in front of the Bialim between each Negicha and warn the Bialim to be Shomer Es HaShar, otherwise the Shar does not become a Muad, to be Mechayev the Bialim, the Gavra, for consistently be often Muad, violating the Asra. Is Meimar Amalei, the Bialim in this case would say, Lo Aviyadana, we didn't know that the Shar was Nogeach, therefore we couldn't have been expected to offer that high level of Shmira, because even though the Edim testified about the Negicha, but there was a Hazam against the Edim, and therefore those Edim were thrown out of court. And the Gemara answers, could go di Amri, we can have a case where the last pair of Edim testify, call Emas de Kotil Tore Gabe Aviasi, that all the situations in which the Shar was Nogeach, the Bailim were together with the Shar, and they themselves witnessed the Negicha. That's part of the Ha'adus Ha'edim, the Haggadus Ha'edim. And therefore, if the Bailim want to claim they didn't know that their Shar was the Shar Nogeach, that is proven false by the fact that the Edim saw the Bailim there at the Negicha itself. So since the Bailim witnessed the Negicha, that's enough to engender a Shem Muad. Now, you would get the impression here that the Shem Muad depends upon Roa Bailim, if Riyas Bailim itself is enough to establish Muad. So that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means to say is that there was a Huad HaBailim Al Pi'edin. There was testimony against the Bailim, and that created a warning against the Bailim, and the process of Ha'ada was in place. Just that if the Bailim claimed, well, the first pair of Edim were not reliable because they turned out to be Zomimim, then the Edus here is that the Bailim knew that the Edim were telling the truth because the Bailim were there at the Shas Negicha, they witnessed the Negicha. But ultimately, the Ha'adas Ha'edim is what's going to create Yehudei Gavra. And how much more so you do Tura. Ravina Omar, the Makirin es Baal HaShar v'ein Makirin es HaShar. The Edim initially, although they knew this was the Shar that came out of the possession, the corral of Ploni Almoni, they identify the owner of the Shar. However, right now they can't identify the Shar, and therefore at this point we have to postpone the Skilas HaShar. But after the final Negicha, the Edim recognized the Shar. They were getting to know the Shar, seeing the Shar Nogeach one time after the other. And therefore, the Bailim now will pay Kofar and will Sokel the Shar. We couldn't do the Skila before because the Edim couldn't identify the Shar. Now the Edim say, oh, this is the Shar. This is the one that we saw being Nogeach on the previous occasions. And since the Edim recognized the Bailim, they knew that the Shar belonged to that Bailim on all these occasions, therefore we could have Yehudei Gavra. And as far as Yehudei Torah is concerned, that will happen Bevasachas when they recognize the Shar. We only have to separate the Haggadah and on each Negicha and wedge the Haggadah between the Negichas if we hold Yehudei Gavra. And here we have Yehudei Gavra. And the reason for that is because they were Makir Es Baal HaShar. The Gemara asks, "My Havile Lemevad," but there's a technical issue here. Yehudei Gavra means that we warn the Baal to watch the Shar, but which Shar? And the Gemara answers, "Mishum Diamri Lei Torah Nagcha Islach Bivakroch Iboilach Linture Kule Bakroch." Now it's the Chiyuv that the Hasra imposes, Chiyuv Shmira, on the Bailim is not limited to the case where we can single out the Shar. Even if we can't single out the Shar, we can single out the group of Shvarim. Now we know that one of them is a Nagchan, that's enough to engender a Chiyuv Shmira, and therefore a Chiyuv Kofar. at the point of the fourth negich. The Mishnah says zev zeh chayov misa, which means that even a shartam is niskal. Now the Gemara brings another discussion about the status of the shar once it's chayav misa, and specifically in that period of time between the psak din, the gemar din that the shar has to be killed, and the actual implementation of the misa. Tana Rabbana, the Braisa says, let's read the pasuk inside. V'chiyigach sharas ish oes isha v'meis sokol yisokel ashar v'lo ye'ochel es besaro u'bal ashar naki. And the Gemara asks the following, the Braisa asks the following question. Mimash mashen nemar sokol yisokel ashar eni yodesh nevela hi u'nevela asura be'achila matam lom lo ye'ochel es besaro. Why does the Torah here, in the context of a shor haniskal, have to teach me that the shor itself is an avela after the skila? We have a parashah avela. Why wouldn't we apply the parashah avela and the eastern avela here to the shor haniskal? So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say lo yochel besaro? Is magid l'cha kosev shim shchato li'achar shenigmar dino osur b'achila? We have a case of a shor haniskal that was shechted, which would lechora remove the isin avela. There was gmar din. The shor now has to be a niskal, but before the skila took place, the shor was actually slaughtered. And when the pasuk says sokol yisokol ashar, what it means is that already when it comes into the chiyuv of skila, sokol yisokol means it should be stoned, and it was a gemar din to that effect. At that moment, lo yochel besaro, even if you remove the isin avela through shechita, the basar is os. Now, I'm not sure if the basar is also b'toras nevela or a separate isolav of achilas besar sharaniska liacher gemar dino. The ainli ela be'achila, as far as I'm concerned, it says lo ye'ochel es besaro ba'no minayin. And again, this depends upon the machlokes Chizki and Rabbi Avo in Pesachim Perek Beis as to whether or not every Isar Achila automatically includes an Isar Hano. But now we're assuming that no, the Torah says lo ye'ochel es besaro, and that only includes Achila. It does not include Hano. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Hano minayin tamid lomer u'bal ashar noki. The Torah adds not only lo yachal spesor, but u'bal ashar noki, to add an additional isur, namely an isur hano. So that shor cannot be sold. Umay mashma. How do you see in the words u'bal ashar noki that the shor is also b'hano? And the Gemara answers, Shimon ben Zoma Omer, ki odem shomel chaver yotze ish poni noki minachos fi ein lo bahem hano shel klum. If you want to talk about a person who unfortunately lost his possessions, he used the term noki, noki minachos, which means that he cannot benefit from his possessions because he has no possessions. Here too, the Baal HaShor has no possession. He has no benefit that he could derive from the Shor, is noki. Noki minachosav in this case means noki from the shor. The shor itself is asur behano. The Gemara asks, umimai de lo ye ochel es besor lehecha de shachto. Achar shenigmar dino shosav achilo. Emo de hecha de shachto ach lenida dino shor vachilo hu. Vahai lo ye ochel es besor lehecha de sakle miskal. Di asur behano hu. Ukid Rabbi Avo, the Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Loza, Kol Mokum Shenema Lo Yochal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochlu, is called Ez Echad Isra Achila, Vi Echad Isra Hano, B'mashpat, Shifar Lucha, Kosum, Kider Shapir Lucha, B'nevelo, Lager B'nesina, Uli Ove Kochav B'mechira. The Gemara asks the following question. I have another pshat in Lo Yochal Es Besaro. Enochinam fi shechted after Gemara Din, that shechit is meaningful and it removes the Isra Achila. But perhaps the Lo Yochal Es Besaro would mean something else entirely. And that would mean that after the skila, the animal is asur ba'anah. Again, you have to know what to do with the pasuk u'bal ashar naki. Right now, we don't know. But according to Rabbi Avos, says that whenever the Torah prohibits achila, that includes not just achila, but also hana, as the Gemara establishes in Psachim at the beginning of the second perek. How do you know that chametz is asur ba'anah? And the Torah says lo yachel chametz, which means, according to Rabbi Avoh, that since it says lo yachel, it includes an iser hana. Chizki, on the other hand, assumes that achila doesn't include hana, except in this case of chametz, where it says lo yachel chametz. And perhaps if that be the case, lo yachel is besaro, even according to Chizki, might mean an iser hana. But in any event, what's crystal clear and simple is that according to Rabbi Avoh, Isra Achila includes an Isra Anna. So why not assume that after Skila, there's an Isra Anna, which is engendered by the Pasuk, Lo Yachal Spesaro. And if that be the case, then you don't have a source for this Isra of Shechita Liachar Gemar Din. And this Akasha on the Brisa. Now, let's just go over the logic of Rabbi Avoh. Why does Rabbi Avoh assume that Achila includes Hana? The answer is because the Torah says, in the case of Nevela, after it says, Basa Nevela Sochelu, it says, Lager Bisharecha Titnena, O Machal and Nachri. It means that you're allowed to have Hana from the Nevela. You can give it over to a ger. When we're talking about a ger, we mean a ger toshav, who's only chayv in Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noah. And that means that if not for the fact that the Torah specified that you're allowed to have hanah and give it to a ger, the assumption would have been that since it says lo sochlu, it includes an iser hanah as well. Here too, in the case of Shara Niskal, lo yochel spesor is generating an iser hanah liachar shen Niskal. But before the skila, even though there was Gemara Din, there's not Isra Achila and Anah. That's the Gemara's Kasha here. Amri, so the Gemara wants to offer the following answer. Hani Mili, when do we assume this halacha of Rabbi Avoh and in gender in Isra Anah, Hechad and Nafik Le Isra Achila V'Isra Anah Mikra Delo Yochal? When the Pasuk asks Achila inherent in, and included in the scope of that Isra Achila is Hana as well, then we apply the general principle that Achila engenders an Isra Hana. Aval Hocha, but here in the case of Shara Niskal, the Isra Achila Misakel Yisakel Nafka. The basic Isra Achila we derive from the fact that there's a mitzvah of skila. The Torah commands us to take the shor and stone it. Is then isal kedai tachai lo yeochel psoro isra nohu nichta rachmono lo yehene. Gemara's answer seems to be the following: that in general, the Torah uses achila to engender an isra no, because we don't know the isra achila. The chiddush of the Torah is that there's an Isra Achila. And whenever the Torah is mechadish, the Isra Achila does so in formulating an Isra Achila lo soch. That Isra Achila is going to extend, according to Rabbi Avoh, to include Hana as well. But here, in this case, there's no reason for the Torah to formulate the Isra in terms of Achila, because the Isra Achila is clear and it's understood from the mitzvah of Skila. And that's what the Gemara says, Hacha de Isra Achila Misakel Yisakel Nafka. In other words, we could derive the Isra Achila from that which the Shor is Niskal. And once it's Niskal, it's a Nevela, and it comes under the general Allah in Nevela. The Torah here has to be Mechadish something by saying Lo Yeochel Espesoro. And again, if the Torah was engendering a new Isra Achila, then you would justify the use of the language lo yachil. If the Torah is just coming to add an Isra Hana on top of the Isra Achila, then it should have said lo yehene. We already have the Isra Achila. And therefore the Gemara concludes that the lo yachil spesoro here has nothing to do with the classical Isra Nevela, which would be chal after skila, but rather it's to engender an Isra Achila plus, according to Rabbi Avoh, Hana, even before the skila, when there's gemar din, and that's enough. Inami, the gemara seems to offer now a second teretz, and that is that even if I'll tell you that the pasuk means lo yachal sbsoro to engender an iser hanah, but nevertheless it could have said lo yachal. Why does the Torah add the two words es bisaro lomali? And those two words seem to be absolutely superfluous. The answer is the afal gav the avde ki ein basar de shachte asur. Es bisaro means there was shchita, and even though there was shchita, that's the ke'ein basar. He does what you usually do to get basar. He does shchita. Nevertheless, lo yeachel. And that's a case where the shechita replaced the skila after the gemar din. Maskif la marzutra. Marzutra is not happy with the fact that es besaro is being used here to teach you the iser of the basar after shechita, meaning gemar din plus shechita. Ema, if you're deriving the iser achila of shechita from this pasuk, ema animili, I might say that ad iser only applies here on daf mem aleph amid beis hecha de bodak sar v'shachat bo di avdi ke'ein skila aval hecha de shachte besakin lo. He's saying that maybe the shechita that you're talking about here is a shechita which is ke'ein skila. He took a sela, he took a stone, and he sharpened it up with a sharp end, and he did a kind of a skila with this stone. But at the same time, he killed with the stone. It's not a classical stoning. You didn't throw the stone to hit the animal of the head, but rather you shechted with this stone. That's called avdei ke'ein skila. But let's say if there was a real shechita, which was not ke'en skila, then lo ye'oser es besaro. Amre, the Gemara answers, otu sakin k'siva ba'oraisa. Does the Torah ever require a sakin for shechita? Vasnan, the Mishnah says, ha'shochet b'magal yod, b'tsar uvekone, shechitaso k'shera. In other words, the Torah didn't give any specific priority to one method of shechita or the other. Sakin is not your priority method of shechita. Shechitas tzur and shechitas sakin are absolutely equivalent. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that a sakin would do what an evan cannot do. Meaning that the evan, since it's a skila, would not be able to serve as a shechita. And therefore the basar is asur, but had he shechted it with a sakin, that would be a full-fledged shechita. No. Sakin, tzur, it's all the same. Hashokit b'magol yad, he uses a sickle, or b'tzor, he uses a sharpened stone, a kone, he uses a piece of wood that he whittled down and sharpened the end of the wood. All these can be considered as a sakin and shechitaso k'shera. And if that be the case, there's no difference between shechita b'tzur and shechita b'sakin. It doesn't make sense to even suggest that when he so to speak shechts it with a tzur, that's not called shechita, that's called skila, and that's going to engender an isur. But if he shechts it with a sakin, there will be no isur achila. Now the Gemara asks the following kash. V'hashta the nafkale isra achila v'isra nomi lo ye ochel es besaro. Now that we've utilized the principle of Rabbi Avo, and whenever the Torah says achila, it includes hanoz, baal asharnoki lomali. Why did the Torah have to add baal asharnoki? That would seem, as we saw before, to have been the source for the isra hanoz. And the Gemara answers, lehanoz oro. If the Iser Hano was engendered by the Iser Achila, it would not extend to include even the or, the hides, the skin of the Shar Niskal. Salkadait Ramina Bisoro Huti Osir Vano. Just like the Iser Achila applies to Basar, to the flesh of the animal, so to the Iser Hano, Aval Oro Nishtere Behano. The or, since it's not considered Basar, should be Mutavanokamashwan Balashar Naki. means Naki Ligamri has nothing left of this shor, and even the R is Asur. The Gemara asks, Lahanech Tanoi, the Mafkile, Lahai Balashor, Naki Lidrosh Achrino, is Hanas Oro Minolon. We're going to soon see that Balashor Naki is used for a different drosha, to derive a different halacha. So, how do we derive the halacha of Isur R, that you're not allowed to have any benefit from the R of the Shara Niskal? And the Gemara answers, Nafgalahu mi es bisoro. The S is always coming to include something that's tofel, that's secondary. S hatofel b'soro mainiu, oro, that's the or. V'hai tana, S lo dorish. The tana of habraisa that derives the iser anos oro from bala sharnoki, why doesn't he derive it from S? And the answer is S lo dorish. And that's the famous braisa of Shimon ha'amsuni. Kisanya, we learned in the Brisa Shimon Ham Suni Vyamrile Nechemya Ham Soni. Hoyedoresh Kol Esen Shabbatar Kevin Shigila Es Hashemel Kechatira Piresh or Perash. It means that he could always add something from the word S until he came to the pasuk Es Hashem. What could you add to Hashem? Amrilo Talmida. So Perash means he dropped all his drushes of S. Amalot Talmid of Rebbe Kol Es and Shadrash the Maitei Alein of Amalem Shem Shekibalti Schar Adrisha Kakibalti Schar Ala Prisha. I'll get rewarded from Hashem because until this point I thought that all the Esin were coming to Larabos, and that was the key of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means even if I have to rescind, then I have to retract what I said, but what I said was based on what I knew, and that is Torah. But Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva Limeid, Rabbi Akiva came to justify the Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. But in any event, Nechemya Amsuni did not accept the drush of S. He dropped the ball on S. And therefore, if you want to know how do we derive the Yisra Anov R, in the case of Shor Niskal, it's got to be derived from a Balashar Naki. Now, we said before that we need Balashar Naki for something else. Tana Rabbanu Balashar Naki, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Naki, Naki Mechatzi Kofer. What this means is the Balashar does not have to pay Chatzi Kofer. In other words, in Ezekiel, Tam pays Chatzi Nezek. And Muad pays Nezek Sholem. In Kofar, Muad pays Kofar Sholem. Maybe we should assume this is a logical havamina that Tam should pay Chatzi Kofar. For that, we need a Pasuk Ubala Shor Naki, means he doesn't even have to pay Chatzi Kofar. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Valo Hu Atzmo, Ein Mishtalim Elami Gufo. The Tashlumin, the payment of a Shor Tam, the liability of Shor Tam, is only Miguf Hashor, as we've discussed on many occasions. Therefore, without this pasuk, there'd be no possibility to say that he's chayev chatzi kofer. Hevi eyu lebezdin v'yishalim lecha. Let the owner of the shor tell the nizak, bring the shor into bezdin, and I'll pay you from the shor. But in this case, the shor is a niskal. It's worthless. There's nowhere from which, no place from which the nizak could collect his compensation. In this case, his kofar, a chatzi kofar. So why do I need a pasuk? That's what Rabbi Kiv is asking Rabbi Eliezer, Ubala shor naki for chatzi kofar. The shor is the shor niskal. There's no room to pay chatzi kofar migufo. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, kach ani be'einecha. That's how you see me. Shedini bozeh shechayev misa. Am I chashed in your eyes that my intention was to darshan this pasuk in a case where the shor is chayev misa? Ein dini, my drush was only ela kshehemis es ha'odim al pi eid echad al pi bailim. We have no testimony of two eidim against the shor that it killed a person, in order to put the shor to death. we only had one aid, and we only had, or alternatively, we only had the hodas violent. But in these cases, the shor is not a nerak, and therefore we could perhaps suggest that the bialim should pay chatzi kofar. That's why I need the pasuk naki to teach me naki legamre, even from chatzi kofar. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean alpi bialim? Would there be a chiyuv to pay alpi bialim modu b'knas? Modu b'knasu, and we know the modu b'knas is potter. So how was there a havamina here that the bialim would be chayv kofar, or in this case chatzi kofar, based on his hodah, when chatzi kofar is a knas? And the Gemara answers, kasova kufra kapora. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the payment of kofar is a kapora for the Baal HaShor, to redeem his life. And therefore there's a havmina to say that just like a person, if he's chayv a korban chatas based on his own confession or the testimony of one aid, for the sake of kapora, he will have to bring the korban based on this flimsy, incomplete testimony. Is the same thing should apply to kofar. Kofar is a kapor, it's like a korban. And therefore, we would say that there's a chiyuv chatzi kofar, even though there's no classical two edim to testify and establish the chiyuv kofar. It's only al pi atzmo or al pi eid echad. That's why we need the miut of Baal HaShor Naki. The Gemara now quotes a different brisa, and that is Tanya Idach Omalo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Akiva and he says, Akiva, kach ani beinecha shedini bozeh shechayev misa. Do you suspect me of darshaning in a case where the shor is chayev misa? Ein dini ela bimiskavein larog es habehema vehoreg es ha'odom. Larog mitzri vehoreg Yisrael. Larog nefolin vehoreg ben kayoma. These are cases where the shor is not nerak, because in order for the shor to be stoned and to be chayv misa, it has to be a full-fledged kavana. And what does a full-fledged kavana mean? It was a kavana to kill a human being. Not only that, a kavana to kill a Yisrael. And not only that, to kill a Yisrael is a bar kayoma as opposed to a nefel. And in all these situations we're going to see later on in Daf Mem Dal, the shor is not nerag. And now we need the pasuk to tell us that in such cases, the Baal doesn't have to pay chatzi kofar. Hey, Omar Le Bereisha. Which of the two answers that Rabbi Eliezer gave to defend himself against Rabbi Akiva did he say first? And perhaps the one he said first is the one that he changed his mind about and he dropped afterwards. In other words, if Rabbi Eliezer was chozer bo from the first answer of Alpi Bailim Alpi Echad, because that was the first one that he said, go the other way around, it could be that he started with the teretz about Miskavin and Chisaron Kavono, and then he dropped the ball on that, and he retracted that answer. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rova Omar, the first opinion in the Amoraim is that Miskavin Omar Leberesha, that the second answer that we have in our sequence was the first answer that Rabbi Eliezer gave. Rav Tuvia Mishmei de Rava, but there was another tradition in the name of Rava, Hamis Omar Bresha, Hamis meaning Alpi Eid Echad, Alpi Bailam Omar Bresha. So let's go through these two sheets. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava, Miskavein Omar Leberesha. First, he thought that there was a case where there was a chisar and kavana. That was the first answer of Eliezer. Mashal litzayod sheshole dogim in a yam. I'll give you a mashal from a case of a fisherman who takes the fish out of the water. And here we're turning to daf membeis omen aleph. Mishkach ravave shakil. If he finds larger fish, he takes them. Zutri Shakil, when he finds smaller fish, he'll take even those fish. In other words, Rabbi Lazar, at the beginning, he said the teretz, which was more appealing to him, the teretz that he thought was absolutely reliable, and that means the Shor had kavanah to kill an animal, and instead he killed an Adam. And then afterwards, he found another possibility of interpreting this drasha, where the Bailim admitted, they confessed about the negicha, and he offered that answer. Even though, again, you can ask and object to that answer because modu b'knas is potter. Rav Tavyume, in the name of Rava, says that hamis amalei bereisha mashal litzayet sheshol adogrim yam mashkech zutre shakil mashkech rave shadi zutre shakil ravave. He uses the fisherman model for the exact opposite conclusion. First, he found smaller fish. He took them. He didn't think he would find larger fish. Then he found ravave, the larger fish. So he took the small fish and he threw him back into the water. And he took the larger fish. He doesn't have enough room in his fisherman's net for all these fish, or in his boat. So too, Rabbi Elazar originally said, Al pi eid echad, or Al pi bailim, and there was a kasha to be asked, to be raised in such a case. And then he found a much better answer, and he threw out the first answer. And his better answer was, and that was the answer that he was ultimately happy with, that the animal was miskavin the behem of harag adam. That's why it was not chayiv misa. And if the animal is not chayiv misa, there could be mishtali migufo, and even in short time there might be a havamina that al kol ponim the baal ashor should be chayiv chatzi nezek. Now again, we're darshaning the pasuk ubal ashor noki and seeing what we could derive from that pasuk. And as we said before, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this pasuk is teaching me that even chatzi kofer he's potter from. We had other assumptions that maybe Baal Ashor Naki was coming to teach me the Isra Hanas Oro, or in general Isra Hanah. Now the Gemara is going to quote an additional drasha, a brice of Rabbi Yosef Glili, to derive Dmei Vlados from Baal Ashor Naki, and we'll see that tomorrow.